Yeah, Father, we do give you praise. Jesus, we say thank you. We say thank you for taking our place on the cross. We thank you, Father, for all that you accomplished on the cross. We thank you, Father, that it is your blood that cleanses us and frees us. And so today we come and we give you praise and glory and thanks forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everyone to our Good Friday service. It's so good to have you. And to any guests that are visiting, a warm welcome. My name's Kyla. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to be bringing the message today. I love Good Friday because it's a time when we can actually pause and we can reflect on what Jesus did. And, you know, it's only Good Friday because Sunday's coming, as we heard today at this, with that poem, which is such an awesome, awesome message. But today I want to speak on "It is finished." Can you imagine being there on that Friday? Just put yourself in the disciples or one of the women's places. Can you imagine being there on that Friday? Even if you want to close your eyes, I just want you to get a picture. Can you imagine being there and watching as Jesus, who is your hope of deliverance, is now dying on a Roman cross? Imagine their confusion, their hopelessness, and their anguish, their grief. Isaiah 52:14 says, "But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man." Can you imagine what it would be like? So we forget what it must have been like for them, how horrific it must have been to see Jesus like this, because we now know the other side of the story. But they didn't. They were just at the cross. And we can be tempted to think what lack of faith they had. But they were staring up at their dying king, all their hopes dashed, and obviously wondering who would be next. Can you imagine their fear and their confusion? To them on that day, Good Friday was not good at all. It was simply dark, dark Friday. There was nothing good about this day for them. Life as they knew it was finished. From Friday, this perspective looked like, in the words of Lockridge, the poem that we heard at the start, "The world's winning, people are sinning, and evil's grinning." It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday, Sunday is coming. It's Friday, hope is lost, death has won, sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. And for them on that dark day, all hope had been lost from their side of the cross in which they stood. They had let their fear overtake their faith because this is not what they had imagined. They had given up everything, their jobs, their possessions, their money, their family, to follow Jesus. And their hope was that he would rescue them. He would be their savior. And they could not understand why the story ended like this. Jesus says in John 13:7, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." And so at that point, they did not understand what he was doing. And this gives us such hope because there are times when it looks like there is no light for us at the end of the tunnel. When God doesn't seem to know what he's doing and we just can't understand what's happening, we can't see the end. But I believe the cross, Good Friday, teaches us that we can trust that God is ultimately in control. And in the end, he will make all things right. As Isaiah 53 says, this was all part of the Father's good plan, so that many could be counted as righteous and we could become children of God. So perhaps for you, it's just simply Friday. But Sunday's coming and we can have that hope that God is in control, that we can trust that he will make all things right in the end. And so on that day, they thought Jesus was finished. But the truth is, he was not finished. It was finished. Jesus' last words on the cross comes from John 19, verse 28 to 30. He says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And today I want us to ponder the words of Jesus, it is finished. I want us to look at what he meant by this and look at the power of the cross. Because the scripture says, to those who are not saved, who don't believe in Jesus, the cross is foolishness. It doesn't make sense. But to those who are being saved and know Jesus, it is the power of God. And so what did he mean by those words, it's finished, and what does it mean to us today? The word it's finished, or the word finished, comes from the Greek to telestai, which comes from the word telos, which means to end. It means to bring to completion, to conclude, to accomplish, to fulfill, and to finish. And there are many nuances of the word, but I want to look at two today that have great significance in our lives, I believe. The first was, what did Jesus mean by it's finished? Was he meant his mission had finished. Finished didn't mean it's over. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. Jesus had come and accomplished all that he was sent to do. And in John 17:4, he says, I brought you glory on earth. I have finished the work. By finishing the work you gave me to do. His work had been fully completed. And so when Jesus bowed his head and died, it was finished. He had done everything the Father had asked him to do. And in those days, when a servant was sent on a mission, he would do that mission and he would come back to his master, and the master would say, to telestai, meaning, he would say to the master, to telestai, which meant I have done exactly what I've been sent out to do, mission accomplished. So in that moment when Jesus cried out, it is finished, what he was saying to the whole universe was, I have faithfully fulfilled the Father's will. And because he finished his assignment, it means that we can now fulfill ours. He gives us an example of persevering until the very end, of finishing our race and obeying all that the Father asks us to do. Jesus himself told his disciples when they asked him, what must we do to follow you? He said, I want you to deny yourself, pick up your cross daily and follow me. In other words, what he was saying to them and to us is that all selfish ambition needs to die. And all that remains should be an obedient heart that wants to do the will of the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Too many of us are fulfilling our will and our plans instead of the Lord's. And so the challenge for us today is, what do I need to lay down? What selfish ambition or what part of me do I need to nail to the cross today and allow it to die, so that I can also, like Jesus, say, at the end of my life, it is finished. I have done everything you have asked me to do. I have completed the task in which you gave me to do on this earth. The other thing that tetelestai means, finished, means, was it meant full payment of a debt. It was used in financial settlement to mean that the debt was paid in full. And so when a debt had been fully paid off, the paper on which the debt was recorded was stamped with the word tetelestai. And it meant that the debt was now finished. Do you know, currently in this world, we have a debt of $300 trillion. With interest increasing, there is no way that the world will ever be able to pay off this debt. It's impossible. But not only do we have a physical debt, we also have a moral and a spiritual debt. See, we've not lived as we should have lived. We have lied, we have cheated, we have hated, we have gossiped. The problem is, we don't think that our sins are that bad. It's like we have this goodness scale sometimes at the back of our mind, and we've got this, you know, this measuring stick, and we've put like people like Hitler right down here. You know, he deserves punishment. He was really bad. And then we've got Mother Teresa up here, and we think, well, you know, she was pretty good. And then somewhere we're around here. We're not bad enough to keep us out of heaven. We're pretty good. And you will find that when, you know, when you talk to people, they're like, well, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't killed anyone. You know, I haven't robbed anyone. But the problem is, there is no measuring stick in the kingdom of God. Sin is sin. And we all have a debt. It doesn't matter what the sin is. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And what that means is, that means eternally separated from God. In our world at the moment, interest rates are increasing. Inflation is rising. And in most cases, wages are not. And it's getting harder and harder to pay back what we owe. Can you imagine if you had the banker knock on your door and say, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am, we've looked at all our records and we've realized you still owe $600,000, $400,000 on your home loan. And with all the interest rates increasing, we've realized that there's no way that you can now make repayments on your home. Now, we could either kick you out of your home and put you on the streets, you and your family, but what we've decided to do is we've decided to pay your debt in full. You are now free from every debt from this home, now and forever. Wouldn't that be good news if the banker knocked on your doors and said, you know what? We've decided to clear your debt, all debt, your car debt, your home debt, your whatever debt, your anything that you owe is now cleared. You are free. Isn't that good news? And that is exactly what Jesus meant when he said it is finished. He said your debt is now paid in full. Romans 3 verse 24 to 26 says it like this. He says, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. And you know, that is as simple as it is. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to accept his sacrifice. And Jesus then stamps on our piece of paper that's full of debt, debt paid in full, tetelestai. And do you know what's interesting about this word tetelestai is it's actually in the present tense in the Greek. And that's significant because when it's in the perfect tense, it speaks of an action that was only related to the past. But when it's in the present tense or the perfect tense, I don't know if I'm making sense. The perfect tense doesn't relate just to the past. It means that it continues on forever and ever. And so what this word is saying is it is finished not only in the past, but it's finished in the present and it's finished in the future. That there is no debt outstanding forever. And when we, by faith, repent and receive him as Lord, we are set free from all debt. And we're set free from the penalty of that death. As the old hymn states, he paid the debt he did not owe. I owed the debt I could not pay. And it's because of Resurrection Sunday that Dark Friday has now become Good Friday. We're going to come into a time of communion. And I'm not sure where you're at with the Lord today. I'm hoping today that you have received a fresh revelation of what it means, that what the cross means in our lives, that what the word "it is finished" means. And I hope today that you realize that there is nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. See, Jesus doesn't simply add to your goodness when you become a Christian. He actually gives you his righteousness. You become completely right standing in him. He covers you. He takes off those filthy rags, which were like our good works, were just like filthy rags. He takes them off and he gives us this beautiful white coat. And in his sight, we are completely made clean. Our debts are completely paid off. And only Jesus can do that. And so if you haven't received that gift today that Jesus offers to pay the debts off, to take your punishment and to give you eternal life, then I urge you that today is the day of salvation. So we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And Jesus is saying, I knock at the door. Today, will you let me in? So we're going to come to a time of communion, but I just want to pray for anyone that would actually like to make that decision today. And you can do that in your heart. And all you need to do is simply say, Jesus, I believe and I received your gift of salvation. Forgive me of my sins. And today I choose to follow you. So Father, we just want to pray. Today we thank you for the cross. We thank you, Jesus, that it is finished, that there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing more that we have to do to add. And so we just pray, Father, for those that don't know you, that today they would receive your gift of salvation. We just ask that you would forgive us of our sins. We believe in you and we choose to follow you today. We just pray for those that maybe knew you, but walked away. and turned their back on you. Lord, you never turned your back on them. And so today I pray that today would be the day they come back to you. Today there would be the day that they come home. And for us that are following you but just never feel good enough, I pray today that they would know that, Father, it's been done. That it actually it's not about us. It's about what you've done on the cross. And so we release people today from that striving and doing things in our own strength. And we just receive again all that you've done for us by faith in Jesus' name. So we're just going to have a time where we reflect. Stacey's going to sing a song. And I want you to just take this time to reflect. If you need to make yourself right with God, then I encourage you to do that in this song. And then at the end, I'll pray and we'll take communion together. So why don't you just take the cracker. Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take it and eat." And then Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. Take it and drink." Amen. Father, we just thank you for your body. Thank you that yours was broken that we might be healed. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of many, that we might be cleansed and become righteous. So, Father, we just say thank you. Thank you that Dark Friday is not dark, but it's Good Friday, because Sunday is coming, Resurrection Sunday. And we pray today that we would just pause and take that time to actually reflect on the cross and all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we look forward to seeing you next for this Sunday, 9:30, and where we will be celebrating what Jesus conquered death and rose again. Please come along 9:30. We also will have some fellowship afterwards with hot cross buns. So come along and have an awesome day. God bless.